couple of weeks ago, or maybe longer than that, I met a young man called David M. Green. And I thought, we're just having a conversation. I thought, this guy is quite funny and you know, he's obviously got some things going for him. I discovered he is a sketch comedian, a writer, a voice actor, a radio announcer, a panel operator, a TV presenter, and a website owner. David M. Green, welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
What does the M stand for and why is it important?
Well, that's to distinguish me from David Green, the American NASCAR driver.
But right.
The M stands for Michael.
So otherwise you would have been mistaken.
Oh, yeah. The confusion happens all the time.
Now, I had a look at your website because you've been working on Radio Adelaide, haven't you?
That's right, yeah.
And it had some of the topics like we do with our website. You know, we've got recipes and books and things like that. And there were some quite bizarre topics which made me laugh.
Well, we did a comedy show and it was kind of like a parody of an AM-style talk show. And
Us, in other words.
Basically, we would get our ideas by listening to you and then copying them. So we talked about the English language, and
yes.
I think we went and talked about alphabet soup for a while, and one of the characters on the show had some financial problems, so he could only afford the vowels in the alphabet soup. And I think we talked about dueling at one point.
Yes.
I don't think you ever talked about dueling. I think we came up.
That's an idea. I'll poach your ideas.
People don't duel each other anymore.
No.
So it's a lost art form, I think.
You could acquire some nice scars. So you've been quarrying this station.
Yes.
And then sending us up.
Pretty much, yeah. I know I've been on Peter Gurr's show a number of times last year, and I know you have a joke. He makes fun of your hair. And
yes.
We did that, and cause we were all in character.
Yes.
And my character, his name was Norman Vine, and he was kind of an amalgam between Peter Gurr's and Bob Francis.
That's a horrifying prospect.
Yeah, he had a very very complex character.
Yeah. Now, at this point, I would like you to say to the listeners, Carol has perfectly normal hair.
She does.
It is not 3 feet high.
No.
It is not Marge Simpson hair.
No, it's not blue.
Thank you. No. We just had to get that straight. I know you do a sort of a satire on a language segment, don't you?
Yes.
You've brought a little snippet. So I suppose you took that from Raleigh Sussex, did you?
That's right. Yeah, I knew you'd like that one. I'm quite a lover of the English language, and I like, and my friend Tim Ray as well, he was on the show as well, loves diction and perfect pronunciation and that sort of thing. And so we thought it would be fun to make fun of people who abuse it. But in the process, we abused it ourselves.
Let's hear a snippet.
Well, I would like to open up a forum for discussion right here.
Mm.
Pals, what are your least favorite misuses of the English language? Or, if you will, your most hated misuses of the English language.
Norman Vine, do you have a pet peeve?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am, of course, from England, so I am well-versed at using the English language. In regards to your question before, I can't stand when somebody says, I will give you an invite.
Mm.
You don't give someone an invite, you give someone an invitation.
Oh.
You invite someone. Because I get a lot of invites in the mail, because I have a lot of parties to go to and that sort of thing. So obviously, this affects me more than most.
Yes, you would prefer to see the correct usage of the word invitation.
Yes, I am in agreement with you.
Oh, good, Dr. KG. Since you brought up this topic, I suggest you've got a few ideas flying around in that big noggin of yours.
Well, Adam. Where to begin? One that springs to mind immediately is irregardless.
Oh, right.
Irregardless of. I don't like it.
Irregardless of what?
Oh, in regards to your question earlier there, I believe Tim in the newsroom, a light is flashing. Should we cross to him? Because
yes.
He is, of course.
Hello, Tim.
A bit of a guru.
Tim, you're our grammar Nazi.
Mm.
Can you tell us what,
Do you catch... let me... start with this. Do you catch public transport?
I catch the omnibus sometimes, yes.
A man after my own heart, the omnibus. What is with this bus language? If you are to write bus, put an apostrophe in front of the B to represent the omni in front of it. Thank you.
On the yacht.
You can join our pedants club, David M. Green. It serves us right, doesn't it? We do that stuff, and it's good fun.
Oh, it's so much fun. You can hear us laughing in the background, and that's just the edited version. I think the full one went for about 15 minutes of that.
So how did you get into doing this stuff?
Well, I went to university. I studied behavioral science psychology, but I only went there really to do student radio and to write for the paper and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I got into that. And that took me onto Radio Adelaide, which is a community radio station. And I met some friends there, and they had similar interests. And we did the show together.
Did you bother getting the degree? Or?
Yeah, I have the degree.
Oh, that's good.
I haven't really used it, though.
So where will all this take you?
Well, hopefully, if I can just keep doing the stuff that I'm doing now, I think I'd be pretty happy. It'd be nice to get paid for it.
Well, yes. It does help.
Yes.
But you can have enormous fun on radio, can't
you? Oh, yeah. It's so much fun. That's why I do it. I mean, I used to watch sketch comedy on TV, Sean McAuliffe and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I remember when I was 9 or 10 years old just quoting it at lunchtime and thinking, you know, that would be so much fun if you could do that for a job.
That's who I want to be.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You also get a lot of fun out of, not just us, but out of commercial radio as well, don't you?
Yes, it's hard to avoid it, really. We're bombarded with commercials, and some of them are good. Some of them are entertaining, and they kind of enter our popular culture, but most of them are fairly generic bargain of the week, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to say that some commercials are just terrible. And I know I'm probably preaching to the converted here, but I've made some categories here of bad commercials, and we made fun of them on our radio show. We would listen to the radio, wait until we heard a bad one, and then pretty much copy it.
And then grab it.
And there were these ads, you hear them all the time, with two people talking back and forth, and they're not talking in any way that people would usually, they're just talking very overtly about products and stuff like that. It's commercial speak.
Oh, Narelle, you mean you found some really comfy slippers?
Yes. Tell me some facts about those slippers, please. And I you just watch it and you go, who are these people? Nobody talks like that. And there's redundant information as well as another one. I heard an ad the other day and there was a line at the end that said, ask for it by name. I thought,
what else are you going to say?
What are you going to use, a vague description or something? And I saw an ad for some fertility supplement. And there was a line in it that said it contains zinc and it's packed with other vitamins that may increase your fertility.
Uh-huh.
The company's really gone, well, we don't really know if it works, but buy it anyway. You might get lucky.
Yeah.
Who knows? And there's another phenomenon that I've discovered as well. I call it the camper van phenomenon.
Yeah.
It seems anytime there's a TV commercial for a place that sells camper vans or caravans or trailers, there's an expectation for the owner of the business to appear in the ad. I don't know why. It's just something about recreational vehicles.
And it's like ads in the print medium that have, you know, the totally irrelevant pictures of the smiling face of the owner of the business just... Well, here's me. You think, why? Why are you doing this?
Oh, you don't want to hurt him by not buying a camper van.
We've got one of your ad parodies, I think, to have a little listen to. This is the talent of David M. Green.
More tea, Betty?
Oh, thank you very much. Hold on. How did you do that without your glasses?
I've had laser eye surgery. Can't you tell?
But what?
Yes. Last week, I went down to the Smithfield Plains Laser Eye Surgery Clinic and got my eyes done.
But my husband told me that laser eye surgery can be very dangerous.
Oh, no, not at all. It's completely painless.
But what about the cost? I can't afford expensive surgery, not when we're all tightening our belts.
That's what I thought, too. But it turns out it's not. It's very affordable.
What price range? Under $500?
Oh, less than that.
Under $400?
Keep going, Betty.
$300?
No, not that far.
Oh.
$329.95. That's for both eyes.
That's a very good deal. Maybe my husband will find me sexually attractive again.
I'm sure he will.
What was that place again?
The Smithfield Plains Laser Eye Surgery Clinic. It's in Smithfield Plains.
Smithfield? That's where my dentist is.
Nice one. David M. Green was one of the creators of that. What inspires you? Is it mainly things you hear and then you sort of give them a twist?
Pretty much. I don't know if, I don't think most people listen or find it funny, but we, you know, Adam Navarro and Nick Godfrey and Tim Ray and myself, we did this show called On the Yacht, and we would just listen to the radio and actually really listen to it and listen to the little things. We thought, well, that's funny. Why don't people talk about that?
It's called critical analysis.
I think I remember hearing something about that at university.
Look, great to have you with us. And I hope that, well, you've got a number of ways in which you could go. I hope whatever you decide, you have a lot of fun.
Thank you. Me too.
David M. Green, not to be confused with the
NASCAR driver, David Green.
I'm glad you told us that.